This episode of DLC is brought to you by Alienware. So I've got a question for all the gamers out there. Are you seriously going to miss out on Alienware's biggest gaming sale of the year? I mean, these are Black Friday prices we're talking about, so it's not just another sale. I took a look, and this is some pretty big bang for your buck. You know, it's Alienware with some of the most advanced engineering out there, with systems at the top of reviewers' lists. And what about a gift for yourself? Gift yourself a new Alienware 16 Area 51 gaming laptop. I mean, this thing's got performance at the absolute next level with Intel Core Ultra processors. And even better, you can get it during Black Friday. Plus, you can save on all kinds of displays and accessories, like the Alienware 27 4K QD OLED gaming monitor for ultimate visual fidelity. These are incredible deals on PCs with otherworldly performance. So I'd visit Alienware.com/deals soon and grab what you can before their biggest sale of the year goes dark.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anive sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anive has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
ELC. Yeah! There it is! When that robot voice comes in, you know it is time to begin. And wherever you are, whenever you are, and however you happen to be listening, we're so glad you've chosen to tune in to DLC. Woo! Especially if you're one of our geeks and sneaks, using this podcast to power you through a workout or a run. Or hey, maybe you're counting up the numbers. Maybe you're starting at one, you're getting to two, you're climbing all the way to 600! Which is what we do, what we have done. We'll get to that in a second. Whatever the case, we're going to be in your ear holes for 90 plus minutes of gaming goodness, because DLC is your downloadable commentary for the week, delivered the way we love it to be. And that is completely free thanks to our patrons, patreon.com/DLCpod. Thank you, patrons. You are the best. You give us the ability to keep making this show. Without the patrons, we would not be here. We would not have been here for hundreds of episodes. Thank you for supporting us, patrons. In exchange for becoming a patron, patrons get cool perks. They get thank yous in the form of ad-free versions of this very show, video versions of the show, also bonus shows, extra content to get them through their week. Oh, it's so great to have extra stuff like Feeling This with Christian Spicer and Alex Solomon talking about the feelings behind video games. New season coming soon. Three seasons already there waiting for new patrons. It's great stuff. It's timeless stuff. It's great stuff talking about older video games, new video games. Plus, every Wednesday, we have the paid DLC program with Lana Bashinsky joining us to talk about all kinds of wacky stuff that the patrons want to talk about. This last week, we talked about the one game that defines you. Woo! It was a spirited discussion. All there just for the patrons at patreon.com/DLCpod. But this show, the main show, DLC, it's the show all about games. And there are many forms, games played on desktops, laptops, and consoles. also games that involve dice, luck, and cardboard. I'm your host, Jeff Cannata, spelled with two N's and one T, and I am joined, as always, by my friend slash co-host slash nemesis, the guy who's been here 600 times. Well, not really. You've missed a few, but only a handful. Almost 600 times. It's our 600th episode. Christian Spicer, hello.
Hello. You've also missed a few.
That's true. We could probably count on one hand how many we've missed, though.
Well, I have an AI-generated hand, so I definitely can. I
got 14 or so fingers on that hand.
But what I was going to say after that is that we've also done numerous unnumbered episodes.
That's right.
So this is like mainline 600. But, you know, when E3 was in full swing, which our audience would remember that last year E3 was great. But there ever. Were, you know, we'd do like four episodes every night.
Unnumbered, uncounted bonus episodes.
Yeah. And as we are gearing up for this summer, I'm very curious. I mean, movies say that summer has already started. Movies say we're like 2 weeks into summer already.
That's right.
But as video games gear up for summer, I'm very curious what this summer coverage will be like. I was looking back at our, you know, hundreds of episodes as we sit here to celebrate 600, which is also like a cool way of saying like we be older.
yeah.
But man, there were some, I might turn this into a paid DLC prompt. We've done like cool game drafts. I was thinking about syncing up with Danish and finding a game draft that is like, it's not a summer movie wager because you guys are doing that looking forward, but like, you know, what's the summer of 84 in video games? Like what was the hypest summer? I think this summer is going to be fairly muted is my guess in gaming announcements. But man, looking back at some of the episodes we've done and some of the summer spectaculars, holy moly, summer's been hype.
Basically, what you're saying is our 600th celebration is just an arbitrary number that isn't representative of anything, really.
We numbered
some of them, we didn't number others, and we got to 600 somehow. So
no, I am saying, Jeff, that our 600th episode could very easily date episode 200. Like, they're just numbers.
Oh, God.
You know? If they like each other.
A May-December podcasting situation?
Yeah.
Look, I see.
You can be a guest on this show if your show is only on episode two. That's what I'm saying. It's just a number.
It's happened. Yeah, we've done it. this is, by some measure, our 600th episode, which is a pretty big deal. So we thought it would be a good opportunity to do an episode with just Christian and myself again. And not because we were stood up again by another guest.
I thought you were going to say it was a good opportunity.
Not what happened, Christian.
Look, hey, we are relaunching the show. This is now episode one. My origin story is different. Ooh, yeah. I now used to be an engineer.
Whoa.
Yeah. So any engineering advice I give is, you know, I'm an inactive engineer, so don't trust me for any structural or electrical engineering comments. Jeff, what's your new origin story as we relaunch?
My origin story is the same. We just updated the movie that we were seeing at the movie theater that night. Just a little more recent.
Yeah, yeah. It's the exact same origin story. It's just it wasn't during World War II.
Right.
Your family was tragically killed on a carousel in New York after you came back from this other conflict, this more recent conflict.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a carousel. It was actually a D-Box movie screening.
That's right. More modern. Something everybody can relate to. D-Box. My new origin story, Christian, is that we were not stood up by another guest. And it wasn't the same guest. That is,
look,
it's okay.
My parents were not killed when we were leaving a play in an alley. My parents were now killed when we were leaving a dope VR experience.
Oh, you know that's coming. You know that's
and
coming.
And I felt nauseous, so we had to leave the dope VR experience early.
We were
out through the alley.
We were doing a family escape room.
Yeah.
It's got layers. It's got layers. All right. So this is probably going to be a little sillier episode because it's just the two of us. But we still got lots of video game stuff to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. slightly less with two people, but that's okay. We were not stood up.
Look, in this version of DLC, relaunching now at number one, just for the summer, we're going to go back. I should also say this, Jeff.
What?
We no longer called DLC anymore.
Oh.
We are now also HBO Max. We've changed.
We're called 5x5 now.
Yeah. We've also we've gone back on our branding. We really wanted to help out our SEO and just go by HBO Max. And also it
is a lot. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The last thing in this relaunch, in this new origin, that's only going to last this summer before we go back and we use legacy numbering again. Do we want to have our cake and eat it too?
Yeah.
But in this relaunch, the show actually never has guests.
That's right. It's going to be new. You'll see how long that'll last. But it'll
next week we'll go back to legacy numbering. But for right now, in episode number one, which is a collector's edition,
because this is the episode that is a direct spinoff of Crisis on Infinite Podcasts.
Look, this episode is the PT of podcasts. You do not want to sell your phone that has it downloaded on it. You want to keep it.
This is ultimate DLC. It's not related to the mainline DLC universe.
And 20 years later, we'll call it absolute because we also want some of that ultimate money.
There's going to be a moment where we're going to have to combine the universes, but that's okay.
All right. The same actors will still play the hosts in both universes. It won't be confusing.
Hey, everybody. Jeff and Christian like comic books.
Hey, I'm talking about movies, Jeff. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you're more modern than I am. All right, let's get into it. We got some news. We got some games. Let's jump right in and start the way we always do for 600 episodes with Story of the Week.
Story of the Week. It's the Story of the Week. Story of the Week. It's the Story of the Week.
Story of the Week is the part of the show where we make our case for the most important stories that happened in the world of games this week. You could always submit stories by sending us an email at dlcfeedback@gmail.com. We love your emails. We love reading what you're interested in, what you're thinking about, what you would like us to talk about. We love hearing your feedback about the show. dlcfeedback@gmail.com. There are other ways, though, to reach out and be part of the community. We have a Discord, which is 5x5DLC on Discord. Great folks hanging out in that Discord, talking about games and all sorts of other stuff. Take part, become part of the community. Christian Spicer, we have no guest. So it falls to you to have first pick of stories. We got a number of really juicy ones this week. What would you consider to be your story of the week?
I've been waiting for this for 600 episodes. So exciting. It's so exciting. There's a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. What I want to talk about right now, what I think is the most interesting thing for me in my, you know, little corner of the gaming world where my head is right now, is the TLDR is that Jade Raymond has left Haven Studios, the studio she helped found and was purchased by Sony, and they were working on.
She founded it for Google Stadia. Right. To make games for. Well, actually, after she was heading up Google Stadia and working on games there. And then that fell out. And so she founded a studio for Sony to make games as a first party Sony studio called Haven. Right.
Yeah, I believe. Let me look this up. I believe Haven was founded before Sony acquired them.
Were they a subsidiary of Google that then spun off and was acquired by PlayStation? Whatever the case, she founded a studio called Haven, and they were working on this multiplayer heist shooter called Fair Game. I don't know if it's Fair Game or Fair Games.
It was yes. It was a new independent development team called Haven Studios in 2021, March of 2021, and then in July 2022, Sony purchased them and made them a first party developer for PlayStation Studios. So the name kind of think made sense a little bit, where it was like, oh, it was a haven for folks, I think, affected by Stadia and that kind of stuff, and find people wanting to find this new culture, this new studio. and Sony bought it. And the game that they announced was Fair Games, where the S was a dollar sign. And now, the shortest version of this is that she has left that studio. Fair Games has rebranded to just be Fair Game. They've dropped the dollar sign. And I believe
it was terrible to have the dollars. Like, Fair Game is actually not a great title, I think, in and of itself. Not a great title. But Fair Game with a S as a dollar sign at the end is an atrocious title, in my opinion.
It's like naming your video game podcast DLC. Like, how are you going to find that on the internet if you search for it?
Our original title was DLC with a dollar sign after it, but it turned out it didn't actually make us any dollars. So,
As a guy whose gamer tag has been e-money for longer than 600 episodes, I understand the dollar sign. And Fair Game has allegedly been delayed, which is a little, I guess, the weirdest part of the story because it hasn't been dated, you know?
Well, it was supposed to be coming out in the fall of this year. They sort of, it hadn't been specifically announced but I think they were slating it into fall 2025. Yeah.
Right. And so that the high level is Jade Raymond leaves the studio, they change the name, and the game gets a delay. The reason why I think this is an interesting story above and beyond that, and I think that stuff is interesting, but I think the further reason the story is so interesting is I'm curious how this reflects the larger situation going on at Sony after this fallout of the push for live service games. This news is happening shortly after Marathon is concluding its internal, or I guess it's alpha, it's closed alpha or closed beta. And the impressions on that seemed mixed from what's online. And it's in the middle of, or the beginning of this summer, that looks like it might be kind of muted for Sony. And they have some, you know, Ghost of Yotei.
Coming
up. Is
that
correct?
Yes.
Yotei? Mm-hmm. Got it. Ghost of Yotei looks incredible. Maybe there are some surprises, but I really think this is interesting in terms of state of the industry, state of Sony, and then also this particular nuance of I feel like Jade hasn't had a game come out in a long, long time. It's hard.
Well, 2015. It's 10 years since she was a producer or executive producer on a video game that has.
What episode released. Were we on in 2015?
I don't want to know. So the last shipped game for her as a producer is the Mighty Quest for Epic Loot, which is a game I very well remember. Not a great game, but a charming game. I wouldn't put it, you know, not super memorable, but a perfectly cromulent game, as Dave Chen might say. Previous to that, she was managing director, you know, oversaw Far Cry 4, Assassin's Creed Unity, Watch Dogs, Splinter Cell Blacklist. And of course, she really, you know, came to prominence because she was one of the key people that created the Assassin's Creed franchise, right? She helped birth the Assassin's Creed franchise and the Watch Dog franchise. So, you know, I think Assassin's Creed obviously has had more staying power than Watch Dogs, but regardless, those were two pretty big properties for Ubisoft and turned her into a real mega star, you know, as a creative force. And so she has gotten these high profile jobs. You know, she was going to be the one that was going to shepherd the Google Stadia first party slate. You know, Google was going to have these first party offerings on Stadia, and it was going to be coming from or overseen by her. And I thought that was great. You know, I've always felt a bit of a kinship with Jade Raymond just because she's almost exactly 1 year older than me. And like her birthday's in August. My birthday's in August. I don't know. And when she was kind of coming up, I just felt like, oh, that, I don't know. I felt I looked at her career and was rooting for her, you know? It's been interesting to see how her career has just not lived up to the promise that it seemed to have, at least not recently.
She's externally, right? We don't know. It's hard. It's right. Kind of like you look at the screenwriter in Hollywood who has a huge mansion and none of their movies have come out. And you're like, how does that happen? And like, I've sold them all out of my control. Right.
I have no idea her metrics. I've never met her. I don't know her, you know, if she considers her career, you know, successful at this point. She's obviously had some really high profile roles and I'm sure she's done well for herself, but, and I continue to root for her, but as far as like shipped games that come, you know, from her creative, momentum, you have to say, well, nothing since 2015, right? We've had a lot of things that were supposed to happen that haven't happened. And now Fair Game is still on Sony's slate. They still say that's going to happen. They have appointed two new people to be co-studio heads, Marie-Yves Denis and Pierre-François Sapinski will be co-studio heads at Haven. And they say that Fair Game is still coming out, although the report in Bloomberg is that the reason this happened is because internally they were pretty unhappy with Fair Game's, you know, state that the game was in.
And Fair Game, now Fair Game, was an extraction shooter, one of the in vogue things back when it was kind of announced and part of this Sony push for games as service games. And yeah, it's interesting to kind of look at the trajectory of a lot of these. That's the other side of this, I guess, I think is interesting. The trajectory of a lot of these new studios that have spun up out of the collapse of other things, and you get all these big name talent that start to these studios. And we talked about it with the Blizzard game. We talked about maybe three or four episodes, not Blizzard, former Blizzard game. You're like, I was expecting something more different, and this just seems like what they make. But there's definitely a world, you know, our opening run joke about multiverse and comic books, where based on games released, Jade's trajectory is Kojima, Druckmann, that level of like, oh, they started here in this caliber of just these big mega franchises people are still talking about come out. And I think this, as much as anything, points to how hard the business is and how hard it is to get games over the finish line, especially these big games, these Assassin's Creed, these Watch Dogs. She was tied to a Star Wars game for a time, this big extraction shooter games, service games. Like, it's not easy to get these things done, it seems like.
I certainly hear about Fair Game and I go, not particularly interested. I wonder if that game will ever see the light of day. As we say, supposedly still on the slate, but Sony has had this big course correction on their on their live service initiative. If a game, I think, as strong and well-made as Conquered can be yanked, I can't imagine it would be hard for them to yank this. But again, supposedly, as of now, it's still being actively developed and has been pushed into 2026. So maybe it'll happen. They described it, by the way, as a combination of Robin Hood meets Payday 2, if that were made by Ubisoft. So I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see where Jade Raymond lands next, and what's the next chapter for her career. Like I said, somebody that I've always just felt a kinship with in a weird way. So, you know, from afar saying, oh, wow, you know, she's doing it. And I don't know, not like an alternate version of my life, but, you go when somebody is basically kind of exactly the same age as you and they're doing something different, you're like, man, it seems possible for someone at my age. That's what I thought back in whatever year it was when the Assassin's Creed came out. And so having that idea then has always sort of stuck with me and carried me through like following her career. But it'll be interesting to see what happens next for her. We're rooting for her. And I hope that, something will happen where she will be able to actually publish a game. It's hard.
Someone over at Sony right now is like, hey guys, 2026 is Grand Theft Auto now.
Yeah.
Whoa. what are we doing with Fair Game?
Well, I mean, that kind of leads right into my story of the week, which is more delays, which is so interesting because I think the way we covered the GTA delay into 2026, I think, you know, we, at least I was speculating that maybe that might mean games will be trying to make it into holiday 2025 now that there's this window of not having a GTA looming. And it turns out still hard to make games, as we were talking about with Fair Game. And a lot of these, there's been a lot more delays announced, including Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra, which is a game I forgot was coming out.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody had this on their like 2025 vision board, right? Like
it was announced as being a 2025 game. Like that, they, I think they had the year when they talked about this.
Well, they also have 1943 in the title, and it missed that by a lot.
It's true. It's been really delayed since 1943. We were waiting for, you know, computers. We were really ambitious with the 1943 release date, seeing as how video games had not been invented yet.
And the war was really just, I mean, we were still really coming out of it. Real bad time to make a video game.
This game looked awesome. They talked about it at last year's GDC, 2024's GDC. We saw some cool cutscenes. We saw lots of really juicy looking stuff. I'm pretty stoked about this game. It was supposedly coming out this year. No longer. Now it is early 2026. Everybody's saying, as long as it's before May, just get it out before May, which is now the flag in the sand for GTA 6. So I suspect we're going to hear about a bunch of games that are going to be February, March games for 2026. We don't know any month or date other than early 2026 is what Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra will now be launching. Quote, taking this additional time will allow us to add more polish and make sure we give you the best possible experience, one that lives up to our vision. Standard fare. But that's not the only game that was announced as being delayed this week. We had a Ubisoft financial disclosure where they have announced that basically everything's getting delayed. Interestingly, the success of Assassin's Creed Shadows following its delay has influenced Ubisoft to have more confidence in delaying stuff. They said basically it turned out to be a really great idea to delay Assassin's Creed Shadows. It has worked out to be a big hit. So we're basically moving everything out of 2025 that we had been working on, and we're delaying it. They didn't mention any series by name, but they did say our biggest franchises. That would be probably, we know that there's a Far Cry 7 in development. We know the next Assassin's Creed, which is called Hex, is in development. More Tom Clancy stuff. So that's all being pushed into 2026 and beyond. So Christian,
Good and Evil 2.
Yeah, Beyond Good and Evil 2. You'll be shocked to learn is also delayed. What do you think, man? I feel like this is not a bad thing. The companies realizing, hey, if we actually delay our games and make sure they're good, hey, people will like them more and they will be more successful.
Yes. Yeah, generally, yes. And I'm probably going to misspeak here. So again, dlcfeedback@gmail.com. Attention, Jeff, don't bother reading this. Let Christian just delete it without reading it. I'm gonna try to step through some things here. Yes, making sure the thing you release is good is good. Yes, avoiding crunch and not putting your employees are people. Don't put them in horrible situations. Don't make their life miserable. It's a job. Let them be creative and fulfilled and, you know, have a life outside of work. All of those things. I think the thing that frustrates me about all these delays is just how common they are and how expected they are, and how, you know, we'll see a release date at Summer Games Fest or like that and be like, yeah, right. And yeah, it's you know, a running joke of a thing. Right. And then the fact that it continues to be this thing, that this industry, for whatever reason, whether it's poorly managed or just wishful thinking, borderline on outright lying so that investors and stakeholders don't get upset that games aren't coming out in time. But talk about fool me once, fool me twice, fool me George Bush quote. Like, it is just ridiculous how often this happens. And I get that making video games is very hard, very, very hard. But just this idea that you know, Starfield plant your flag.
Yeah.
That you come out here and for any of these games say, this is what it's going to be. This is our release date. We're going to do this thing. Here's the tattoo I have of it, you know, whatever. And right, they so often miss these release dates. I feel like, again, crunch is bad, make the game good, all of that stuff. But I feel like at some level, you either totally lose the trust of the consumer or you just need to do better, right? Like, it frustrates me to no end, this kind of failure of leadership or acceptability of being wrong consistently, and everyone else just being like, well, that's good. Take all the time. Let it cook. We applaud you. Good yeah, job. Like, no, as a consumer, you messed up. Take some accountability. Stop sucking. Stop it. Stop lying. Stop being bad. Do the thing you said you're going to do. Could you imagine anything else that has, like, I'm going to be, don't worry, mom and dad, I'll bring the car home by midnight.
We're experiencing some delays.
Bringing the car home is hard.
Car home in a state that makes us all proud.
Look, Deborah and I were having a lot of fun. What do you expect? So that's the side of it that frustrates me.
I want to really realize the vision of bringing the car home.
I brought the car home after midnight once, and you guys were still asleep. I realized it was good for everybody.
I want to give you, mom and dad, the best possible experience when you receive this car. So I'm going to keep it out another day.
Trust me, we needed to leave the windows down a little longer before I brought it back.
I think, honestly, the cases we're talking about in this particular story,
yeah,
or these two stories, I think are the better way to do it, right? They haven't announced a date that they then had to scrub.
Yes.
This is sort of like, we're thinking about this for 2025. Oh, nope, sorry. It's going to be 2026. And in Ubisoft's case, we haven't even officially announced, well, Assassin's Creed Hex has been announced, but we haven't told you any specifics. It's more like, hey, just let you know, guys, these aren't coming anytime soon. I don't think this is as egregious as some cases, you know, like the Starfield case or others, where it's like, here's a number, a date, stamp it down, set it on your clock by it, it's coming. And then it's like, nah, we were wrong. That feels a little more egregious. But I do agree in principle with the general thought, which is, we're all sort of playing this ridiculous game. We're all just sort of like, oh, wow, they announced a day, or they announced a release window. They announced it. It's like everybody is sort of living in this fiction where that's not yeah, going to be completely different. Like, we all kind of know. It's a weird kind of fantasy world where everybody has to play along by saying, yep, it's coming out. And then yep, it's not, okay.
October's going to be hype this year. Look at this stacked weird October.
It's such a weird, constantly moving target that I don't know. We've talked about this so many times, but I don't know if there's a solution. I really don't. It is an odd thing because, you know, I assume and I believe that every time someone does make an announcement for a release date, they are at least somewhat confident that they can make that happen. And then there aren't, you know? I don't know.
I've heard, and I will be, this is very vague, I've heard anecdotally that at least sometimes these release dates aren't from the people making the game.
Well, that's true. That is true.
So I don't
that
know. Objective. The person who announces the release date might be very confident.
Make that so. Yeah, speaking it into existence. Yeah.
But these two specific ones, you know, we talked about Jade Raymond. Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra, which again, looks like an incredible game.
Yeah.
Terrible name. Terrible. Is this about, am I playing a Stan Lee? It's just terrible name. Is an Amy Hennig game.
Not as bad as Fair Games, but
also terrible name.
Yeah.
But this is an Amy Hennig game, and she also has not, she's been victim of big game she's attached to not ever seeing light of day. I think this one will. This seems very close. And then the Ubisoft one, it felt like a big part of their explanation here was trying to appease shareholders.
Yeah.
And shareholders were not appeased, Jeff. They took a hit in their valuation based off of this, and they tried to spin it as look, last time we did it, it worked out so well. And they were all like, we don't care. You have nothing coming out for a while.
Yeah.
You're going to be punished. And it does seem like, again, Ubisoft is on the ropes a little bit. They had that, you know, we're giving our big franchises, we're partnering with this, we got money coming in, and it does seem like they continue to be on the ropes financially. And that's a bummer because, you know, they've made some of my favorite games over the years, and I think also defined the industry in a huge way over the past decade.
Yeah, I mean, I just think I like the messaging around this. Who knows what the realities are beneath the surface, but the messaging being, hey, the lesson we learned from Shadows is that give the games time to be great and they will sell well. If that's actually the lesson that they came away with, then bravo. I would like that to be the case, and I would like the games that they make not to be rushed, not to be forced out before they're ready. So, you know, I think if Far Cry 7 is going to make lots of money, I think an Assassin's Creed Hex is going to make a lot of money. So if they can hold out, if Assassin's Creed Shadows can sustain them, then so be it. And they also mentioned, by the way, that not everything is leaving 2025. They still think we're going to get that Sands of Time remake at the end of this year. So stay tuned for that delay. Well, actually, that's not true. Not by the end of this year. They are slated before the financial quarter that ends March 31st, 2026. So they still
before
might
before Grand Theft Auto.
Before Grand Theft Auto. The before Grand Theft Auto financial quarter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is Anno 117? How do you even say that one? That's another hard one. Anno 117 Pax Romana, Prince of Persia Sands of Time, Rainbow Six Mobile, and The Division Resurgence are all expected to come out before March 31st, 2026. So they don't have nothing. They just have very little I'm excited about.
I just wish video games were more like movies, because I just got home last night from seeing the new Blade, and it was great. They nailed it.
They never get delayed. I did just watch the new, you know, there's a new season of that ILM documentary series on Disney Plus, which is excellent. Hey, little quick parting gift in the early part of the show, because hey, it's episode 600. We can do what we want.
We can do what we want.
ILM. I can't remember the name of the show. Is this like, what is it called? Anyway, I think it's called Light and Magic. Anyway, it's on Disney Plus. It is an excellent show.
Light and Magic.
Yeah, Light and Magic. First season all about the origins of Industrial Light and Magic, where George Lucas founded this special effects company to create the Star Wars movies. And the second season that just debuted recently is all about the sort of next era for ILM, which was their digital era. And it focuses around the making of the prequels with episode one. And the reason I bring it up is because there's this whole running, not joke, but running refrain in the series about how they said when episode one was going to come out and they stuck to it. And they basically were like, ILM had never done as many effect shots in a single film as they did on episode one before that point. They didn't know if they could do it. They kept saying, I don't know if we're going to even be able to do it. Now, it's the equivalent of crunch. So it's not great the way that they did it, but they did put the movie out when they said they were going to put it out. So it's interesting.
I was there. Sat in line before you could pick your seat.
Samesies. Samesies.
You had to get there early. Sit in line for an hour before you saw the movie.
With all your best friends, everybody doing lightsaber battles in the parking lot. It was the best of times, the 90s. Let's go back. All right. Let's take a quick break for a sponsor. We'll be back with some more stories of the week right after this. This episode of DLC is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace! Squarespace! You know, we're here in the 600th episode. Squarespace was with us in episode one. The first sponsor we ever had. And proud to have them still with us 600 episodes later. Proud to fully endorse Squarespace. That's because we use it ourselves. ChristianSpicer.com, JeffCanada.com, DLCPod.com, all made with Squarespace. Because
the upcoming West Coast DLCPod.com, the upcoming The New DLCPod.com, the upcoming Spectacular DLCPod.com, the upcoming Absolute DLCPod.com, all the comic spinoffs you could ever imagine.
That's right.
If they ever happen, if any of those websites ever happen, it will only be because of Squarespace.
Well, it's because Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform that is designed to help you stand out and succeed online. And that's what we're all about here on DLC. We're standing out and succeeding, baby. And that's not, you don't have to have just been going for 600 weeks like we have. Whether you're just starting out, whether you're scaling your business, Squarespace gives you everything you need to claim your domain, showcase your offerings with a professional website, grow your brand, and get paid all in one place. It is the only place that I recommend. You know, as the sort of internet guy in my family, sometimes my family members will be like, hey, I need to make a website. What do you suggest? Squarespace.com/DLC is all I ever say.
It's he yells it at them, actually. He actually yells it at them.
I do. I scream it.
Squarespace! Like, I get it.
Yeah. That's how awkward the conversation gets is that, do you have any suggestions for a website? And I go, Squarespace! And they're like, could you repeat that? And I'm sure, I say, sure, yeah. Just, do you have a pen? Do you have a piece of paper? Okay. So it's www.squarespace.com/DLC. Why is it so easy? Why do we recommend this? Why? Well, Squarespace gives you everything you need to offer services to get paid all in one place, from consultations to events and experiences. You can showcase your offerings with a customizable website that's designed to attract clients and grow your business. Okay, obviously, that's what I want out of my website. How does Squarespace do it better? Well, Squarespace has a collection of cutting-edge design tools that make it easy for anyone to build a bespoke online presence that perfectly fits their brand or their business. You start with Blueprint AI. That's Squarespace's AI-enhanced website builder. You get a fully custom website in just a few steps using basic information about your industry, your goals, your personality to generate premium quality content and personalized design recommendations. Not interested in going the AI route? That's okay. Squarespace has got your back there too, because they have a complete library of professionally designed and award-winning website templates. So you start with a template that has options for every single use, every category you could possibly imagine. And then you build it with their intuitive drag and drop editing. It makes it so simple that anybody can do it. They got beautiful styling options, unrivaled visual design effects. It's so easy to list what you offer. No experience is required. You can build the website of your dreams, make it look professional, make it look beautiful. And then you can get discovered fast online with their integrated SEO tools. That's search engine optimization. Every website on Squarespace is optimized to be indexed with meta descriptions and auto-generated sitemap and more. So you show up more often on more search engines and bring in more people to your website, more ideal customers. That's what you want. Check it out for free, absolutely free. There's no obligation. You don't even give them your credit card. You can build an entire website by going to squarespace.com/DLC. That'll save you 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain when you use our promo code DLC. Again, squarespace.com/DLC, and then 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain using our promo code DLC. Thanks to Squarespace for being with us for all 600 episodes. Here's to 600 more. All right. We do have some more news that I want to hit on, including, I think, potentially a...
Jeff was right.
I'm sure you're going to dispute this, but I did mention that there was going to be... I think this was last year, though. One of my predictions last year was that the Switch 2 was going to have first-party games upgrades for Switch 2. Turns out we're getting a lot more of those that were announced this week. Of course, we knew when the Switch 2 was announced that the Zeldas were getting their their glow-ups for Switch 2 that were going to cost you a little extra money. But this week, Nintendo announced 11 new games, but 11 games, additional games, that are getting extra glow-ups, extra... Switch 2 functionality, and most of them are not going to cost you any extra money, which is pretty great. So it's they're not doing all of the same technique that they're doing with Zelda, where you're gonna, you know, it's gonna cost you $80 if you want to buy it new, or it's gonna cost you, I think, what is it, 10? If you already
Some are 10, some are 20, and Zelda is on Nintendo Switch Online expansion pass. It's convoluted.
But they have announced new stuff, Switch 2 abilities. I don't know why I can't come up with a better term than that. Super Mario Odyssey, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, new Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe, Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, ARMS, Game Builder Garage, Big Brain Academy, Brain vs. Brain, Clubhouse Games, 51 Worldwide Classics. All of these are getting additional functionality with Switch 2. Mostly, you're getting HDR support. You're getting optimization for the high-resolution displays. Some of them are getting frame rate improvements. You know, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, I'm sure you're excited to hear, getting frame rate improvements. Some of them are getting compatibility with the new game chat functionality. So a lot of the Switch 2, you know, special features are getting added to these first party games, and most of them are going to be free upgrades. So I think this is a huzzah. More of this, please, from Nintendo. Notably, none of these are third-party games. So we don't, you know, I think it's up to the third-party publishers to do it themselves. Nintendo's not going to do it for them. But at least Nintendo is adding stuff to their first-party slate, the biggest games that came out on Switch 1. So I'm happy to see it.
Yeah, it's kind of patchwork, I think. And I think in terms of concise messaging, I think Xbox kind of nailed it with their, you know, hey, you're going to get the best version of the game, whatever game version you have, and we're going to do all these free upgrades for all these other games, right? And it was going to be all this great stuff that you could have, is what Xbox did back in the day. That was really great. Not every game was included, but I think their messaging was really strong. Here, I feel like this feels very Nintendo, where they're going to they first tout the big, you know, Breath of the Wild, it's gonna be better. We're gonna have this. It's also it's free if you have Switch Online, or you can buy the edition, the boxed edition. That's $8, or you can pay to do the upgrade. We're gonna have these paid upgrades. Some of them are $10, some of them are $20, and then now they're like, also, we're updating some of them for free. The updates you get, they're different depending on the game. Which game is it? What is the upgrade? Yeah, that you get game chat with that one. Oh. Oh, cool. I get anything? No, nothing else. Oh, so y'all get frame rate boost? No.
All of them?
No.
Yeah.
But some of them get HDR support. Oh, okay. Anything else? No. HDR. I'm happy that this is happening, yeah, but it feels odd. Or it feels like not the easiest thing to shout from the rooftops, like, hey, parents, go buy a Switch 2 because all the games you have right now are going to be better on it. Like, we're not getting, yeah, that messaging yet. It's like, here's 11 games that we're adding some stuff to.
Yeah, and you're right. It's all very different game to game. They have to break down each game and say what it's getting added. Like, for example, Game Builder Garage is getting Joy-Con 2 mouse controls. That's cool. Some of the games, as you said, are getting frame rate boost. Not all. It's funny how they tout, like, you can play two people at once. It's like, yeah, you could always do that in that game. But on Switch 2, you can. It's like, okay, I guess that's something that you had to make happen. I don't know. I do think this is a good thing. I want this to be just the first of many announcements of Switch 1 games getting, better optimization for Switch 2. And I want this to permeate into third party. So basically, it would be great if, like you said, we were guaranteed that any Switch 1 game we popped into Switch 2 just worked better. It doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. But at least they're making an effort here with their first party. And I'm really pleased that they're not charging money for these upgrades. These are some excellent games. These are some games, Mario Odyssey, Echoes of Wisdom. Echoes of Wisdom is very recent. So these could definitely have fallen into the bucket of let's squeeze a little more dollars out of them. And I'm glad that they're not doing that. So,
yeah, I'm curious internally what the difference is between game that effort that requires charge or that we think we can charge for and game where it's like we're going to add this stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe because it's low lift and we don't need to charge. Also, dear listener, if you hear it, yes, some birds are fighting. When we're recording a little earlier and when we record a little earlier, if you're watching the video, you can see these lovely trees right outside my window. And I got some literal angry birds out there right now.
Angry birds. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the news of the week. Let's get into the games that we've been playing in a segment we call The Playlist. Ooh, what you playing this week? Tell us. Ooh, what you playing this week? Tell us on The Playlist. Christian Spicer, there's so much coming out right now. It is just a deluge of really high-profile, awesome games. I know you're still working through some stuff. I'm still working through a ton of stuff that I want to keep playing. But anything new to hit your playlist this week?
Yes. The one game I want to talk about, the new game I want to talk about this week, Capcom Fighting Collection 2, which came out on Switch and PlayStation 4. I would guess an Xbox version is going to come at some point because the Capcom Fighting Collection Marvel, whatever that one was called, did eventually come out or get announced for Xbox as well. So Capcom Fighting Collection 2 is Capcom versus SNK Millennium Fight 2000, Capcom versus SNK 2, Capcom Fighting Evolution, Street Fighter Alpha 3 Upper, Power Stone 1, Power Stone 2, Project Justice, Plasma Sword, Nightmare of Bilstein, which I've spent the least amount of time in that. This collection, like the others, I think as a whole, and I bought the physical edition on Switch. Let me start there. I bought the physical edition on Switch, which it's weird to think that this is probably my last Switch 1 game. Like, do you ever do that, Jeff, where you're like, you have your Xbox One and you're like, oh, this is going to be it?
Yeah.
This is, Dick, do you remember any of those for you, like for past consoles?
Oh, man. Boy, I'd have to really think about it. But I do recall that feeling of this is the last big release. I think, wasn't Last of Us like that for PlayStation 3?
Yeah, PlayStation 3. And I think God of War 2 on PlayStation 2, I remember being like, it came out after I think PlayStation 3 was already out, if that's right.
I distinctly remember being like, this Last of Us game looks amazing on PlayStation 3, but this is the last time. This is it. This is what we're putting her to bed. Yeah.
I can't believe this game's going to be trapped to this console.
Oh, wait. They'll never re-release this game.
This is all we get. Yes, I have fond memories of that. I think it's fun. It's almost as fun as getting a new console and being like, oh, the first Mario 64, you know, you crack open this thing, the first game you put in it, that Mario Kart World experience we're going to be having here in a couple of weeks of like, let's see what this baby can do. And the end of the life of a system too is like, oh, they're really firing on all cylinders now, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Teams know everything. You get games like Last of Us, and it's just incredible. And oftentimes the last, before they start doing cross-gen versions of sports games, so not when they're doing the one for the next console, but also porting it down to the last one, but that last NBA 2K you get on, that was just on PlayStation 4 or whatever, like, ooh, they've really found it, right? They've honed everything in. They've brought things over. This is going to be the best version of this. And Capcom Fighting Collection 2 is a wonderful game, but it does feel very funny to me that this is my, like, Echoes of Wisdom should have been it, you know, for me. That should have been it. But I had to go back. So slight tangent there. But Capcom Fighting Collection 2 is also, I think, interesting in the way that it is released and the way these games come out as Switch or PS4. Because I think it's also on PC, and I think that that's an advantage of PC gaming in some ways, where I think, is it on PC? Pretty sure it's on PC. Where like that, I think for some folks going to buy it on Switch, it feels like you're buying a last gen game because the Switch 2 is just about to come out. It feels weird to buy a PS4 game when you have a PS5, even though you can play it on your PS5. It doesn't have the PS5 banner on it, and PC doesn't have any of that stigma, you know. It's right. Just like, game I buy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't feel like I'm buying a last gen game, and here I was at Best Buy being like, the last Switch game. Ooh.
I want to hear about them Power Stones. I used to love, yes, Power Stone. I feel like that game has the real potential of not holding up.
Yeah, so I can walk through. I've spent good amount of time with a lot of the games, at least with Plasma Sword, which might be new to the collection, new to a Western release. I'll look it up. I'll double check. But I think for me, the marquee releases of this bundle is Capcom versus SNK. Millennium Fight 2000, I think, is probably better than 2 for my money. Mm-hmm. The Rare, they did it better the first time than the second time. But man, when these games came out, just triumphs, right? Like blending, yeah, these two fighting systems, art styles together. And yes, we've had Marvel versus Capcom and we had crossovers before, but from these two, you know, DC, Marvel, like in the era in which this was happening, these SNK characters and fighters coming over was huge. And I think for them to pull it off as well as they did, absolutely incredible. And they hold up extremely well today for, I think, some of the depth that was in them. The other one, I think the biggest game of this collection, and it's wild that we have such an incredible home port of it, is Street Fighter Alpha 3 Upper, which for the hardcore, I think most would argue is the definitive version of Street Fighter Alpha 3. It had kind of like the final arcade cabinet patches in it, like the definitive version of that game out now. And just to have it with rollback netcode on consoles that are widely available on PC, and that you can just dive in and play that version of the game, like the casual Street Fighter 3 Alpha fan, and I think myself included in a match, I don't know if you'll notice the tweaks they made, but I'm very curious if it becomes kind of the Evo standard going forward, more so now, because it's so widely available. Street Fighter Alpha 3 is a game that will always be very special to me. I think it's just absolutely, yeah, incredible, especially after Alpha kind of came out with a little bit of stink on it. I think back in the day, I think rose-colored glasses have given that whole franchise a better in hindsight 2020. We loved those. I don't think people did. But Street Fighter Alpha 3 was beloved, and I think it's only become better in time as it's aged. And
I think
this
Alpha
version of it
2 was the one that I played the most, if I recall. I remember vividly playing it with my roommate at the time, I believe in college, on a little like 20-inch tube television that was up high, and we would sit on the floor and look way up high on the shelf where this TV was and play and just like yell at each other and curse each other for, you know, beating us, you know, just going back and forth and just having so much fun with that game. Oh my gosh. I think it was two,
great
though.
Games. Those two, yeah. Awesome. I love the tweaks to the aesthetics, the art style for the Alpha yeah. series. And Alpha 3 is my personal favorite. The worst of the bunch is Capcom Fighting Evolution. Like, I don't know how many more of these collections Capcom can do necessarily of looking back. Capcom Fighting Evolution, for folks who don't remember, was instead of Marvel versus Capcom, it was Capcom versus Capcom. Like, in concept, it's really cool. It's taking Darkstalker, Street Fighter, oh gosh, what else? There's like four or five Capcom fighting franchises that they brought, you know, four characters in, and that you could pick any of them. And kind of set to still their moveset, like the way not special moves, like the alpha move.
Yeah.
It's kind of different depending on if you're a Darkstalker character versus Street Fighter character. So like conceptually it's very interesting. In practice, it's kind of just a mess. And I think it becomes a little button mashy. I remember when it came out, I haven't looked it up again. Maybe I should do that. I mean, if memory serves, this game was not reviewed well. Like, I think it was loathed when it came out on home release. Like, I'm not kidding, like panned, like 4 out of 10, like absolutely loathed when it came out. And it's one of those games that when I was like, oh, I haven't played it since whenever it was 2001, 2002, whenever it came out. I was like, I wonder how it holds up. And when I launched it on Switch and you see the menu and you see these characters together, it feels cool. And then you start playing and you're like, oh, I remember now. It doesn't quite work. And then so long way to get to the three. Those are all 2D games. Capcom SNK, SNK 2, Fighting Evolution, Alpha 3 Upper, all 2D games. Then it has the suite of 3D games, Power Stone, Power Stone 2, Project Justice, which is the sequel to Rival Schools, and then Plasma Sword, which you're not going to get anything from me. I fired it up for a little bit, and I was like, I don't remember this game, and I don't know anything about it, so I'm not your expert on Plasma Sword. Power Stone 1 and Power Stone 2, I think, are maybe the biggest reflection of where these collections walk an interesting line and perhaps fall off of it. These are arcade games. We are getting arcade perfect ports of these games. And the arcade game of Power Stone 1 and Power Stone 2, in my opinion, are terrible in comparison to the Dreamcast version of Power Stone 2.
Yeah.
The Dreamcast version of Power Stone 2 had kind of the Super Smash Brothers Ultimate approach of a single player fighting game where you were grinding. There's like an adventure mode. You unlock all these little trinkets and all these things. And it was awesome because Power Stone, for folks who don't remember, it's 3D kind of isometric.
Yeah.
And then especially in 2, a lot of power-ups. You can collect power stones.
Like a big arena fighter, basically.
Yes. It's Smash, but not platform-based. It's like the chaos of a Smash Brothers,
yeah,
but not platform-based in the same way. And just frenetic, chaotic. Power Stone 2 especially, the multiplayer, very chaotic and fun. And pick up and play in that regard because environmental damage is happening. Someone gets a power-up you can't keep track of. Just chaos on screen. And that Dreamcast version of it was just exquisite and hours of fun.
Dude, I this bought release, extra controllers for that game.
Like, yeah,
for
so
that
good.
Game, I bought and Dreamcast controllers.
Probably worth it. Probably worth it every single penny.
You know, then you have to get friends to come over. That was the harder part. I have extra controllers, guys. Yeah, but
just walking the street, swinging some old Dreamcast controllers around. Yeah. Hey, get your Power Stone on. This version of it is just the arcade version. So you have arcade, which is what you know, just you running through the game solo. I think training mode and then versus online, cool. Versus cool, great to have this arcade perfect port at home. But I really wish we got the Dreamcast version of the game. I think it's just a better single player experience. So Power Stone 1, now my long-winded way, Jeff, of answering your question, Power Stone 1 does not hold up. I think Power Stone 1 quit being great as soon as Power Stone 2 came out. Power Stone 2 is the Assassin's Creed 2 of the Power Stone franchise. It did everything Power Stone 1 did better. It found a way to make it more chaotic, lean into all the strengths of the first Power Stone. Power Stone 2, Jeff, if you have friends, it's incredible.
I don't have friends.
If you have online friends.
I have children.
You or they might get frustrated depending on who ends up becoming better at Power Stone 2. But as a couch co-op, you know, not co-op, as a couch adversarial game, Power Stone 2 is still, I think, up there of one of the best. It is so fast, so frenetic, the controlled chaos. If you're better, yes, you can win, but it does enough to let, you know, the unskilled player feel like they have a chance. With so much going on screen. Incredible party game. And so the fact that you're able to get this whole collection is $40, I think. $39.99. You can get this whole collection, honestly, if you're not emulating, you don't want to dive into that scene, and you have folks to play with, 100% worth it for Power Stone 2 alone, in my opinion. And then go good at Street Fighter Alpha 3 Upper. All that being said, the bow I'll put on this, unless you have any other questions, the actual ports of these games, phenomenal. Really, really great. I did very little online play, so I can't speak to the netcode, but my understanding is it's the same as they've been doing, which has been great with rollback and all of the stuff that they've kind of learned over the years.
You have to have a Nintendo subscription to do it?
Great question. I don't know. I mean, I have one, so I don't know.
Yeah.
It's on Steam. If you don't have to have a subscription to do it on Steam. But man, I love these games. My phone background is Marvel versus Capcom art. So these Capcom fighting games, that was almost my answer, Jeff, to last Wednesday's paid DLC. Like these fighting games hold a really special place in my heart.
Yeah.
And these SNK Millennial Fight and SNK 2, some of the best pixel art up there, you know, ever made. So highly, highly, highly recommend. I know I kind of rambled a bit, but I love this game, and I highly recommend Capcom Fighting Collection 2. Just so you can get all of these games in one place now, and they just work with the Marvel collection and the other Capcom Fighting Collection. I remember saving up, you know, my $85 in the 90s. I think Capcom versus SNK might have been 90 when it came out. Maybe that was Street Fighter Alpha 3. But yeah, I love these games. I love this collection. Don't play it with the Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
But there's extras, there's bonuses, like museum, you know, cool bonuses and stuff like that I didn't even really dive into. But just as a fighting game experience, top notch, Jeff, top notch.
All right. That's Capcom Fighting Collection 2 on Christian's playlist. I have another, I think, fun pixel art game to talk about. And I'll do that right after we take another quick break for a sponsor. This episode of DLC is brought to you by HelloFresh. Fresh, fresh air, sunshine, and good food. Good food. That's what spring is all about. Fresh air, sunshine, and good food. That's what you want on your table. And HelloFresh makes it easier to fit quick home-cooked meals into your schedule every single week by curating delicious recipes like pasta primavera, chicken Dijon, pecan crusted trout. Christian, I love when stuff is crusted with other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Give me pecan crusted anything, really. That is in addition to over 100 seasonal snacks, sides, and treats. HelloFresh makes it easy to treat you, yourself, your family to good meals that are made by you by hand. It doesn't break the bank. It allows you to just get exactly what you need. It's pre-portioned ingredients, so you're not being wasteful. You don't have to worry about figuring out the menu. It adds variety. We love HelloFresh. And in 2025, HelloFresh is evolving to fit every lifestyle by bringing customers even more convenience without compromising on taste, health, or homemade quality. Their new ready-made meals offer chef-crafted, flavorful dishes that are ready in just 3 minutes. so you can dig in and get outside, get work done, or just get some me time. And every HelloFresh meal uses high-quality ingredients, including seasonal fresh produce and proteins that travel from the farm to your doorstep. And those doorstep deliveries can be flexible. You can pause or skip anytime you need. It doesn't have to feel pressure. You don't have to worry about it. I love that about HelloFresh. So flexible. One of my favorite things, Christian, is getting on the app and picking my menu for the next week or 2 weeks out or 3 weeks out. It's so great. There's such a variety of things, and I can get excited about the meals we're going to get next week, next time.
This coming next week, there are a couple. I'm vegetarian. There are a couple of curries. Heck yeah.
Steph Curry.
No, he's out still. Basketball's over. I don't know if you know that. There's a vegan Thai coconut ginger curry next week.
Ooh.
Or this week, we're going to listen
delicious.
To it. Indian style chickpea coconut curry also. Like, I am ready for dinner already.
It really has changed my life. The ability to cook for my family, know what's going into their mouths. My kids get excited looking at the picture when we get the new HelloFresh box in, pop it open, and those big cards with the recipes on them. And they have great pictures so the kids can look and see all the yummy things that dad picked out 2 weeks ago to be here. It's great fun. And you can feel great with meals that fit your spring schedule and make the season even more delicious by going to HelloFresh.com/DLC10FM. That'll get you 10 free meals with a free item for life. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/DLC10FM. F like Frank, M like monkey. One per box with active subscription. This is the free item for life. One per box with active subscription. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only. Varies by plan. HelloFresh.com/DLC10FM. All right. We were talking about just the absolute onslaught of incredible game of the year quality games lately. These massive AAA releases.
Capcom Fighting Collection 2.
What's that?
Capcom Fighting Collection 2. Yeah.
Well, Doom the Dark Ages and Clair Obscur and Oblivion, and it's just nonstop. This kind of massive, intense, very big AAA game release schedule right now. It's hard to get people to turn away from that, especially if you have Game Pass, where most of the games I mentioned are on Game Pass. You've got just so much to play right now. But my impulse when that happens usually is to try to find a great indie game to celebrate as well, because yes, AAA is
help,
just
I'm drowning. What do we need to save you, Jeff? More water.
More give me water. Give but like slightly, not salt water this time, like fresh water maybe?
Yeah. Can you board this water, please? I need it to be.
I need the bespoke, made by just a few hands water.
There are way too many big games coming out. Please tell me that there are at least some small games coming out too. What? Oh God.
I'm buried under this avalanche of giant boulders. What do you need? I need smaller rocks to also add on top of it.
Back up the truck of 1,000 smaller rocks, please.
That is the state of video games right now. We have video games, and yet there's all so good. Well, I have another one. This game has been in early access for quite a while, but it just hit version 1.0 this last week. This is one I think is not to be missed. If you, like me, really enjoy ARPGs, action RPGs in the style of Diablo or Path of Exile, boy, do I have a game for you. You may have heard of it. As I said, it's been in early access for a long time and getting a lot of fans. This is a game called Sloremancer. Sloremancer. S-L-O-R, Mancer. Sloremancer, or The Sloremancer, to be more precise. And this is a game made by two people. And it is awesome. I love this game. Pixel art, action RPG. Lovely art. I really, really like the visuals of this game. Big sprites, big things on the screen. You know, you're looking at tiny little stuff. It's your big character moving around, and you're going through dungeons and environments, and you're just obliterating everything in sight.
So here's some Vampire Survivor-esque, like everything be exploding. It looks like, as I'm watching the video of it on Steam.
Yes, but it does not play like Vampire Survivor. This is not a game you can play with one hand
or auto shoot. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no auto shooting. It is a full-on ARPG. So it's much more Diablo. It's much more active. You're really, you know, playing it, which is not to say you're not playing Vampire Survivor, but Vampire Survivor, you know, does a lot of stuff for you. Not the case with Sloramancer. But yes, the level of chaos on the screen can get as quite as intense. Sloramancer seems to have been made on the premise of, what are all the things you, Jeff Cannata, and I think most people love about ARPGs? We're going to give you that without limits. We're just going to like drink from the fire hose of the very specific few things that ARPGs do best. And we're just going to streamline that and give it to you with no limits. What are those things, you ask? Well, for me, if you love leveling, oh baby, Sloramancer. Leveling, so in Sloramancer, you level your character. You level individual skills of your character. You level the weapons of your character. You eventually open up specializations. Like, there's three main classes that you can choose from at the beginning: a knight, a huntress, and spellcaster of some kind. I can't remember what it's called specifically, a mage or something like that. And then there are, each of those has three subclasses that open up after level 10. Guess what? You're going to level those subclass skills too. Everything gets leveled. Your weapon gets leveled. Your character gets leveled. Individual skills get leveled. You're leveling stuff up all the time. If you like that feeling, oh boy, Sloramancer gives it to you. What else? Oh, do you like theory crafting? Do you like building characters? Do you like skill trees? Do you like slotting in stuff? Ooh, Sloramancer is going to give that to you, because you've got skills on skills on skills, and there's no limits on respecking. Everything is 100% refundable all the time. You want to try a new build? Do it to your heart's content. You have invested a bunch of resources in leveling up these particular skills because you liked them. Guess what? We'll refund you all that stuff. You can rebuy new skills. Whatever you want to do, Sloramancer's got your back.
Do you have you spent time doing that? Like, how often do you go back? That sounds scary to me.
Well, what's scary about it is the number of viable builds and the complexity of the builds. Because, like I said, you got skills on skills on skills. And each skill almost, it's like the skill tree has its own skill tree. There's so much variety in how you can build your character, because you only have two main skill slots, but you unlock tons of skills. So you can, and then those skills, as I said, you level up. So they then have ways to specialize them. So for example, I played all three classes, but my main class I've been sticking with that I really like is the Huntress. Ranged, you know, kind of a ranger or hunter or, you know, roguey kind of character, high agi build, whatever. By the way, you have eight attributes that you put points into as well, and those give you bonuses. But then you also, you know, you unlock these skills. So for example, I have shoot an arrow as a main skill, right? That arrow you can branch off and get, you know, I said branch off, but it can actually branch, you know, so when it hits something, it splits into two arrows, or it can explode. You have literally a skill tree for that skill. So you can level that skill up to level 4, and then 4 different things can open up, and you can put points in any one of those. You don't have to specialize. You can put your points in all of them if you want, and make it not only branch off, but ricochet and also explode and also have a wider area of attack and also slow enemies. You know, you can do, you could specialize in one thing or you can do all of them, but you're using the same resource, which is ostensibly experience points, to buy those specializations in that skill, but also in other skills, your specialization, the stuff that your weapon can do, because your weapons, the weapons are all unique. So there's loot in this game, like in Diablo. So you're looting helmets and capes and pants and shoes and stuff. But the weapons, you'll never loot a new weapon until it's some big, big thing. And there's a codex of all the available weapons for your class. And there's a lot of them, but it takes doing something really important to get the weapon. And the coolest thing, this is something that I've talked about, you've heard me say many, many times, the best power-ups, the best skill trees, the best way to upgrade in a role-playing game, in my opinion, is when that upgrade changes your play style. And in Sloremancer, any new weapon you get, its bonuses are going to suggest a completely new playstyle and therefore potentially a completely new build. So looting a new weapon is like, oh, it does this? Well, now I can completely change how I play built around that weapon's strengths. And I love that. And again, you've got this freedom to completely rejigger your entire build on the fly. And that is really, really cool. But then also your weapon is leveling up. So it gets new abilities as you go. And you're putting points in your character. You're putting points in your skills. You're switching out. It's just like a complete freedom from the sense of making the character you want. And there are wild builds that I've seen, you know, like completely seemingly contradictory builds that are completely viable and fun. And you, Sloremancer does this great job of making you constantly feel OP all the time.
Now I understand why it's been in early access for a while. At first I was like, yeah. I don't know. It doesn't. And it's like, oh yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And again, it's two people making this game, which is pretty extraordinary. There's so much to do in the game. There's tons of content. It takes a while to ramp up. I think the game feels very easy at first, but I've never really found that to be off-putting. I like feeling overpowered as I'm sort of learning a game's ropes. And then it eventually sort of adds in layers of difficulty that you can opt into. It's got that kind of stuff that are common in ARPGs where you can start a dungeon and like increase the hazard level and add attributes to the bad guys that make them harder and harder and harder. That'll increase the amount of XP you get, increase the amount of loot that you get, that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's all opt-in, or not all opt-in, but a large portion of it is opt-in, and you can sort of tweak it and find the challenge that you want. So I like that about it. The one aspect of ARPGs that I love that is absent from this game, because like I said, it's sort of indulges in all the best stuff. You know, there's really great fights. I think the enemies are cool. It throws a lot of them at you. There's exploration. It does all the things that I... Oh, the other thing that I love about ARPGs, Christian, I don't know if you're like me. I love breaking stuff. You know, I like breaking boxes and vases and ceramics of all kinds. I love breaking stuff in those games, and maybe something good will pop out. Sloremancer says, guess what? We're going to put about a billion devices all in a line, and all you have to do is walk into them. And
you thought you were dungeon crawling? Nah, dog, you're in a vase shop.
You are a bull in a china shop in this game. And you, it is, I don't know, maybe it's my kink that's just personal to me. I don't know how many people share this. I love breaking a vase in a video game. I love shattering things and having cool stuff potentially pop out.
Your wife is livid at all times, but you love...
Yeah. Well, it's because I can't do it in real life.
Honey, happy Mother's Day. Yeah. Smash!
Hey, look, I got new lamps. Oh, everything I can do not to smash them. But in a video game, I get to live out my dreams. And in Slormancer, all you have to do is walk into something and it'll be, I mean, you can walk over gravestones and they'll shatter. Oh, it's so satisfying to just traipse through a field of vases and they're all shattering and gold is popping out. Oh, this game gives it to you. The one thing that I love about ARPGs that it doesn't have, that is entirely absent, is that you don't get to see your cool clothes on your character. All of the upgrades, all the loot that you get doesn't show up. Your character looks like your character. You put a new hat on, you don't see it on your character.
Hired a third person.
Right? And I get it. You know, it's a pixel art game. That would have taken a lot. But there's other pixel art games that do it. So it's not impossible. But I do miss that. That's the one thing I miss. The other thing that I think would make this game really, really sing is co-op. It is a single player only experience right now. I don't know if they have plans to add co-op. I think co-op would be a really awesome addition to Slormancer because it's just so fun. And I think, you know, games are better when you can play with other people. But it is exceedingly fun. It feels good to take down a bunch of the enemies. Like the combat feels good. It ramps up into being challenging. There's tons of stuff to do. You have different biomes. Again, it takes a while to get to all that stuff, but I've played this game enough now that it is the perfect Steam Deck game, the perfect, like, I'm going to play this for 15 minutes game, because you can do a dungeon, you can just kind of relax and blast your way through it. You get to do cool things. The skills are, like I said, always make you feel OP. They are satisfying to pull off. This is like a top tier ARPG. You may not see that looking at screenshots or video of the game. Like I said, it looks a little like a Vampire Survivor. Like when you look at the screenshots, it doesn't play like that. It plays like a Diablo, a Path of Exile on speed. You know, it is just like a fire hose of all the coolest stuff in those games, and I think done in a really lovely package, a beautiful pixel art package that has a lot of charm. Oh, the other thing that I didn't mention about the game is it has a great sense of humor. It does not take itself seriously. For example, the bad guy's name, the big bad guy, the titular Slormancer, the real name of that character is Om a God. So it's Oh my God. Oh my God, the Slormancer. Which is, I think, you know, it's not the smartest joke in the world, but it's silly. Like the game is silly like that. Another great example is when you first load the game up and you pick your class, it's like, oh, which you're being recruited by, oh God, what's his name? It's like it's another ridiculous name. It's like Buster McBuff or something like that. He's a big, strong guy. So he's the hero that then dies right at the beginning and you have to take over for him and save the world. But when you're selecting your class, you hover over the different classes and all of them are trying to convince you not to pick them. They're all like, no, I'm terrible. I have slow response times. My damage is so low. You don't want me. It's very funny. So the game has a lovely sense of humor, and you know, you're constantly interacting with NPCs that are saying goofy stuff, and it's all, you know, it's not going to make you laugh out loud necessarily, but it gives you a chuckle. And I like games like this where I'm not here for the plot, right? At least go a different direction. You don't have to provide me with this super compelling plot, because what I'm here is for the pure game mechanics, right?
You do the Dark Ages version of it. Then you need those cutscenes.
right. So I appreciate when a game is like, I know you're not here for this, so we're just going to have a little fun and it'll be silly and goofy and we're kind of making fun of the genre and we know what you're here for. We're going to give you that. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll make you smile or chuckle a few times on the way. So,
So it's currently $15 on Steam. It has 4.5 stars with almost 5,000 ratings. And it looks like it was in early access for 4 years.
Yeah.
And now 1.0 is out. So it seems loved and not very expensive for folks that are interested in it.
Really great game. I am just so blown away by how and I think this is a testament to early access working. You know, like this game comes out really polished. Really polished. So I, you know, and again, two people. So yeah. Throw this game some love. If you're into these kinds of games, you will not be sorry. I think this is, and also it's got 4+ years of, folks like really digging into good builds. If you're one of those people that wants to, you know, get into this community and, or just dabble and find a great build that you want to stick to, you're going to find lots of people already invested and have, you know, poked at the edges of what's possible here. So it's a cool 1.0 release that just came out. The Sloremancer is my my playlist.
This episode of DLC is brought to you by Alienware. So I've got a question for all the gamers out there. Are you seriously going to miss out on Alienware's biggest gaming sale of the year? I mean, these are Black Friday prices we're talking about, so it's not just another sale. I took a look, and this is some pretty big bang for your buck. You know, it's Alienware with some of the most advanced engineering out there, with systems at the top of reviewers' lists. And what about a gift for yourself? Gift yourself a new Alienware 16 Area 51 gaming laptop. I mean, this thing's got performance at the absolute next level with Intel Core Ultra processors. And even better, you can get it during Black Friday. Plus, you can save on all kinds of displays and accessories like the Alienware 27 4K QD OLED gaming monitor for ultimate visual fidelity. These are incredible deals on PCs with otherworldly performance. So I'd visit Alienware.com/deals soon and grab what you can before their biggest sale of the year goes dark.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Before we move away from playlist, Jeff, I looked it up. Capcom Fighting Evolution reviews when it came out. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Capcom Fighting Evolution, it came out in 2004, PlayStation 2 and Xbox in 2005. So these are the reviews when it first came out. EGM, Electronic Gaming Monthly, gave it a 4.83 out of 10.
Oof.
Famitsu.
I like the 8.3.
Yeah, I don't know where that. I don't know what they were doing back there.
I'm not gonna buy any game that's lower than a 4.8. 4.83. Oh yes, got it.
I'm
just
in.
By the hair, we're in there, baby.
I'm in. Famitsu gave it a 26 out of 40.
Whew.
Brutal, especially coming from them.
Yeah.
The official U.S. PlayStation Magazine. 1.5 stars out of 5.
Oh, gosh.
Official Xbox Magazine, 3.3 out of 10.
Yeesh.
And so, not loved. Again, not loved. I love this collection, but this makes me think it might be the last one until we can get, like how long until Street Fighter 4 is collectionable, you know?
Yeah.
Because when this is the one of the ones you herald as, like, It's part, we're putting a collection together. What game should we get? I don't know. What games got at least above a 4.8?
4.83, baby!
Oh, 4.8 out of 5? No, out of 10, sir. It was out of 10.
Yeah. If you're below 5 out of 10, I don't think you need the decimal place. That's just me.
I also don't think you belong in a collection. Again, great collection. The Capcom Fighting Evolution doesn't need to be part of it.
That's funny. Speaking of which, Famitsu, does that still exist? I feel like I haven't heard about Famitsu in a long time.
Still exists. They still, you know.
I feel like I haven't heard about the Famitsu rating of something in like a decade. I think it's a big deal what Famitsu gave something.
More and more perfect scores have come out from them. Or, you know, 30. It used to be like if you got a 38, 39 from them, like it was, that was it. That was the, you know. And I think it was also more prevalent in the 90s and early aughts when.
Right. There wasn't a global video game market. Stuff that happened over in Japan, you're just like, that's never going to come here. But Famitsu gave it a 39.
Yeah. Yes. And people didn't just look at review aggregators and then argue about what that aggregation means.
Yeah, right. Another thing I wanted to mention while we're in the playlist is last week, faithful listeners will remember our guest Will Harris with one L talked about a game called Prado Traveler.
The Discord's been all the buzz about it.
That's one of the things I wanted to bring up is the fact that the Discord is sort of organizing a Prado Traveler group for folks getting their steps in and motivating each other to get a little geeks and sneaks action with Prado Traveler. If you weren't listening last week, to recall, that is a mobile game that interacts with the health app on iOS. I think it's also on Android, but it uses your steps, your actual physical human steps, as the way to do quests in this role-playing game. So if you want to defeat the monster or go to a different town in the game or whatever it is, you need to physically move. But you don't have to be playing the game while you're moving. You can literally just, you know, go out, do your run, and then use that as a resource, those steps that you that you banked while you were out walking or moving around or whatever it is. You can use those steps to apply to your quests in the game. So a lot of the folks in our Discord are organizing around it. So if you want to get in there, again, that's 5x5 DLC on Discord. But another cool thing happened, Christian. We got an email from one of the developers of Prado Traveler, Caleb, who is one of the very small team. I think it's just two people making that game as well. And they wanted to thank Will for shouting out the game. He said it was amazing to hear such a positive review about the little game my friend and I are making. It's hard to be an indie developer and hear positive things. It's hard to be an indie developer and hearing positive things about our game truly made our day. Made our day to hear about that, Caleb. That's awesome. And if we can point people to this game and get them moving, I think it's a win-win. The other cool thing, Christian, this, you know, made my day. There's a PS at the end of this email that said, as an aside, I saw the Totally Rad Show panel at San Diego Comic-Con 2011. So it was surreal to hear Jeff say Prado Traveler. So Caleb, the designer of Prado Traveler, was at our live show of the Totally Rad Show 14 years ago. Is that right? Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good place to get steps too.
It is. Yeah. San Diego Comic-Con. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You get some of it's waiting in line now, but it used to be a good place to get steps.
You know, at least you're doing your standing goal, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, super cool of Caleb to write in. Thank you, Caleb, for writing in. And thanks, Will, for making us aware of Prado Traveler. And thanks to our listeners and all the folks in our community in the Discord for organizing around it. I think this feels like a pretty cool thing to take hold in the community, is a game that is fun in its own right, but also kind of motivates you to get out there and get your geeks and sneaks on and be healthy. I love that about it. Yeah. Super cool. All right. That's going to do it for our 600th episode. We got parting. Yeah, 600 of them. 600. We got parting gifts coming up, so stick around for those. But Christian Spicer, Thanks for being here on this crazy journey 600 times around the podcasting world with me.
Week in, week out, not only have we done extra episodes, I don't think we've missed one,
which
I think is,
Yeah. But we're tempted fate. You know, I said a while back, we've never had anybody.
Yeah, it's true.
And that did not happen this week. Did not.
But not on our episode one, our relaunch.
Our new relaunch.
You should see our new suits, by the way, too. We all got new suits designed for this relaunch.
That's right. My glasses are now a visor.
Yeah, it's very cool. My hat, the text on it is now backwards. For this relaunch. So it was the text on my shirt. It's backwards.
All backwards.
For this this highly prepared relaunch.
That's what we're going to do. We're not starting over at number one. We're just going to start counting backwards from 600 now. It's going to be really confusing because there's going to be two episode 599s, two episode 598s.
Should we live that long, Jeff, to be able to run this back again? You know, I'd be okay with that.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, hey, the way that that can happen is folks support us at patreon.com/DLCpod. If you'd like to hear 600 more episodes of this show, there's only one way to make sure that happens, and that's to support it. We appreciate all of that.
If you want to hear 4.83 more episodes of this, same thing. So if you're listening and you're like, I want to hear 500, but not 600, still support the show.
Yeah, right. I can totally understand that. Like, listen, you guys have done 600. I'll allow 400 more, but you have to stop at 1,000. I'll take it. You know what? Yeah. I'll take it. Still, that's the only way to make that happen. All right, Christian Spicer, what's going on?
Yeah.
No.
I write a newsletter about video games. You can find it at Substack, christianspicer.substack.com. I did my written review for Doom the Dark Ages. You can find there. I know we talked about it in depth, and we even put out bonus content first for patrons, and then it went out wide after that as well. We kind of did a technical deep dive. So if you missed that in your feeds, go listen to that bonus episode. I think it's really cool. But I also wrote up a review. You can find it at christianspicer.substack.com. And I send, you know, periodic conversational newsletters there, and it's free to subscribe. And then I, along with the show, are on Blue Sky. DLC Hype Train is the show, and you can find me there, Christian Spicer. Jeff, how's your summer of movie going?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. I have high hopes how this summer's going. We got big reviews over on the Filmcast going up. This week we're starting with Final Destination Bloodlines. Were you a Final Destination fan in the early 2000s?
I'm friends with the creator. I love Final Destination. Great franchise, and I haven't seen this one yet.
Yeah.
But I loved what there's some stinkers in there, but what, five? The last one? Incredible. Incredible. I love it. It was so pulpy. Yeah, it was really good.
Well, there's a lot of pulp, and by pulp, I mean gore.
Fresh squeezed human body juice.
Yeah, indeed. Fresh squeezed human body juice. That was a franchise I completely missed. For whatever reason, I never watched a single Final Destination. We did an episode on our patron feed on the Filmcast where I watched the first Final Destination for the first time just this last week. So you can check that out if you want as a subscriber to the Filmcast, which was interesting to revisit a movie from pre-9/11. It came out in early 2001. Wild to see that movie for the first time. And then this new one we'll be talking about on the newest episode of the Filmcast. You can check that out wherever you get podcasts. Also, We Have Concerns is a comedy science show I do with Anthony Carboni. Lots of fun stuff. I think we did an episode about bats recently, which we, of course, turned into an episode about Batman because we can't not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's good stuff. And check that out at wehaveconcerns.com. Also, still raising money for Providence Cancer Institute. My run is happening in August, so there's still plenty of time for you to get your pledge in if you want to see me run and not sleep for 36 hours. RunJeffRun.com is where you go to pledge. No amount too small. If you'd like to just pledge a couple of dollars, that is perfectly fine. It really bolsters my efforts and gets us closer to that goal of 20,000 for cancer research. All right, let's wrap the show up now with our parting gifts.
Hey, give us a suggestion of what to do this week. Give us a parting gift. This is your parting gift.
Christian, do you have a suggestion to help people get through their week?
Boy, do I. It's a comic book, Exquisite Corpses Number 1, a new book from Image. That issue 1 came out May 14th. You can still find it probably at your local comic book shop, hopefully. If not, I imagine they'll do a reprinting of this. I'm going to read the Image Comics description of what this book is about. Every 5 years on Halloween, the wealthiest families in America play a game. 12 of the deadliest people in the world are dropped into a small town with just one goal. The last killer standing wins. For the citizens of Oak Valley, Maine, this year's unlucky arena, the goal is much simpler. They must survive the night. Ooh. So it's this fun mix of Battle Royale, you know, Fortnite, Hunger Games, alongside The Purge.
Yeah.
In a way where it's like, each city, they kind of, and it's this like, not Illuminati, but it's kind of like, not like the richest families in America. It's like, oh, Bezos, Zuckerberg. No, it's yeah. like the, in this fiction, like the people who really run the world.
Right.
And so they seal off this town.
And all bets
are off. Unbeknownst to the citizens that are still in it, you know, and then this yeah. this chaos happens. And what's cool about, so I've read the first one. It's a 64-pager, like bonus. Length issue. Awesome. But also the way this comic is being run, the pitch is that it's being run like a TV show where it has showrunners. And I don't know if each issue is going to have different creators attached to it, but I think there's kind of like a writer's room. And that's kind of the pitch, is we're bringing the biggest, best people together to make this book that is pitched as a 13-issue series. So it's also being pitched as season one and not the ongoing mess where it has to get a new costume after 400 episodes and then come back with a rebrand.
Is it is every episode going to or episode every issue going to be a big one, like 64 is like each one is a full meal idea?
I don't know. I would guess that, I mean, 64 pages is, I mean, normal comic book is 22.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I would guess not, but this first issue is $5, which is standard pricing for a lot of comics these days. And it's this first issue is awesome. It really sets the stage. Again, it's not revolutionary in terms of the high level concept, but the way they're executing it so far, it has, you know, tones of Kill Bill, of like The Bride, and you see like the splash page of who this crazed killer is going to be that this family's using. Yeah. I think, let me see if this works. I wonder if they even put this out. So the first issue is available to read 100% for free on Image's website.
Cool.
Not how I'd recommend reading it. I prefer physical books. I think the physical book is really well done. But you can find it's imagecomics.com/read/exquisite-corpses. And you can read the whole first issue for free and see if it's for you. It is, you know, adults. It's mature, as the theme would suggest. But I really, really love this first issue, and I'm excited for this. You know, the concept of TV brought to comics, if the showrunner approach actually works or not. Exquisite Corpses Number 1, out now where we get comic books.
Awesome. Very, very cool. I love that you can check it out without even having to purchase it if you want to get you into the series. That's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
My parting gift is a reality show, which is very off brand for me. I don't really
Killers are dropped into it.
I'm not really into reality shows, but there is one that got its hooks into me in season one. I think I talked about it on a previous parting gift way back when I got into it, which isn't that long ago, actually, for as long as it came out a long time ago, but I got into it very, very late. And it's because Lana Bashinsky suggested it to me. It's called The Devil's Plan. It is basically super
Killers dropped into a town. Like, that's not.
I mean, it would be a good title.
Same title.
Not exactly what it is. It's a group of celebrities, Korean celebrities. It's a Korean reality show. Bunch of Korean celebrities who have to play super high stakes board games, essentially. And it is really clever, really, really fun. doesn't have a lot of the stuff that makes me not like reality shows, which is like the, you know, carping and manipulative, you know, personality stuff. These are all like really genuinely cool people, nice people who have to do some backstabby stuff, but don't really want to and kind of feel bad about it. Anyway, season two has just hit Netflix and it's also excellent. So if you are like me and you don't really love reality shows, but you do like games and you do like interesting people, smart people playing board games. Board games is too simplistic. These are, I think, kind of based on board games, but much more sophisticated than that. It's really, really excellent. The Devil's Plan is what it's called. Both seasons are available on Netflix. Highly recommend it. We got a listener-suggested parting gift. That is also a reality show. Dylan wrote in to dlcfeedback@gmail.com to say, my parting gift is the show Taskmaster. It's a British game show where five comedians compete to complete random tasks as quickly or creatively as possible. My wife and I recently discovered the show and have been flying through episodes every night. Each one brings us so much joy and laughter. The best part? There are 18 seasons or series because British. You can watch them for free on YouTube. Dylan. Thanks, Dylan. So many people have recommended Taskmaster to me. Have you ever watched it?
I've watched some episodes and then clips, lots of clips.
Everybody talks about it as being, you know, similar to British Baking Show, where it's wholesome, it's positive, it's really joyful and fun. So maybe I'll give this one a try as well. I've never watched any of Taskmaster, but so many people absolutely adore that show. So sometimes when there's 18 seasons, I don't go, yay. I go, oh, that's intimidating.
But also like British seasons, you know,
they're short.
And you kind of can jump. And I should also say I clicked through. I don't know if this was the planned first issue. What is available, they say, as the first issue online is not the entire first issue of the physical book that I own.
Oh, okay. So it just gives you a taste.
It gives you a taste. They say it's the first issue. It's not. It's a taste.
If you want a taste of Exquisite Corpses,
come on down.
You should probably be on a list somewhere.
All right. The whole corpse. Get it for free.
All right, that's going to do it for this 600th episode of DLC. Thank you, Christian, as always, for being here. We appreciate
it. I almost didn't show up.
That would have been something. That would have been real something. thank you to our musical contributors, Patrick L., Sean Madigan, and Zero Star for the fun bumpers. Our theme song was composed by White Cube, which is Jason Sherry and T. Ryan Arnold. You can always get merchandise for our show by going to our store, which is store.dlcpod.com. Of course, our biggest thanks always are reserved for our patrons who make this show possible. Without them, we would not be here for one episode, let alone 600. Thank you, patrons. We appreciate you. You can become a patron and make sure this show continues by going to patreon.com/dlcpod. We'll see you next week for episode 601. Until then, think about what you put out into the world. Make it a better place.